Hello and welcome to the Greenfield Baptist Sermons Podcast. Each week we will be uploading the focus scripture and sermon from Greenfield Baptist Church in Northeast Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us and enjoy.
Our next testimony is going to be, Chris, what did you do with the mic? Beautiful. Oh, wow, that was thinking. Our next one is going to be Mrs. Hillary Hubble. Now, if you're not familiar with her, she is infamous, all right? She's in charge of AB girls, which means that she rounds up anywhere between like 15 and 30 young ladies on a regular basis and does all kinds of ministry stuff with them, ranging from putt-putt to Valentine's cards and everything in between. And she is the one who orchestrated the volunteer dinner that we had just a couple weeks back. And so I just want to open the floor to Mrs. Hillary Hubble.
So for those of you who know me, it's not surprising at all that I have everything written down, what I'm going to say. When Pastor Dan asked me to do this, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have like a big coming to Jesus moment per se. But he has really led me to a lot of great opportunities in life. And so I prayed about it, and I said yes. And so I just prepared what he laid on my heart to share with all of you. And so despite growing up in church communities, I didn't find my faith until 2020. Before then, I was drowning in anxiety, feared death, and had little peace. Since finding my faith, I have found peace in prayer, in his word. My marriage has gotten stronger. My kids have grown up hearing and knowing his word, and our family, while living far away from our families, have established a great family here at Greenfield Baptist that continues to grow. Since finding my faith, I have focused my energies on these four aspects to continue to grow in my relationship with God. First is serving him. I have found it difficult in life not to focus on earthly things and instead to focus on what he calls me to do, but it's not easy. I want to live my life focused on serving him, being kind, patient, and slow to anger. And if you ask my kids, that does not come easily to me. But each day is an internal battle, and I certainly don't win every day. Time alone is the second one I focus my energies on. The first is always easier for me if I've had time alone. With three kids and many hats, this doesn't happen often. When it does, I have mom guilt. Yet in the last few years of reading the Bible, I've learned that Jesus, too, needed time alone in prayer. This information has made asking for alone time feel less sinful or selfish. Third is be in his word. Before I came to Greenfield, I tell people all the time, I grew up Catholic, so we had a Bible, but like you didn't open it. It just sat there. And so coming to Greenfield, hearing everyone say, like, we read the Bible all the time, I was like, well, that's weird. And so, I still find it difficult. I've texted Pastor Dan. I'm in Leviticus right now, and that is not an easy read. And so I find endless excuses not to have any time to read my Bible. Some days those excuses win. However, I find that I can listen to the Bible and the Bible recap podcast while getting ready in the morning, and that this has increased my time in his word, and it sets my day off in a good place. Prayer is my fourth, and this is the area in which I still have the most room for growth. I know it's vital to growing in my relationship with God, but it doesn't come naturally to me. I often find myself distracted when praying. However, I'm trying to be more consistent with a prayer schedule so that it becomes more natural for me. So looking ahead, I'm committed to nurturing these aspects of my faith, knowing that each step forward is a step closer to God. It's a journey of transformation that requires daily focus and work. It's a blessing to know that on this journey, I'm not alone. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are with me on each step, as well as all of you. And I thank you for your continued love with me and my family.
Please be seated.
Now, our next testimony, some of you might not know him as well. He's a little bit newer here, but he is related to Jackie Butterfield, for those of you who remember Jackie. She was a kind and loving spirit, very active on her board of missions in particular. And Joe is her brother. He started coming here about a year ago. And he's got quite the story, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, Joe. So I'm going to let you come on up and speak for yourself.
Thank you, and happy Resurrection Sunday. I took notes also for a young lady. As Pastor said, when Pastor Dan asked me to do this on Wednesday, I'm also a pastor. My name is Joe. My wife Kathy and I started attending here right after the death of my sister. And as a pastor, sometimes you think that you're supposed to know it all. You're supposed to be able to pray. You're supposed to be able to believe. You're supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And one of the lessons that the Lord has really shown me as a pastor, especially through the death of my sister, is that it's not up to us. He told us to believe. He told us to trust. He told us that we need to wait on Him. He's the one that heals. We're just to be obedient to Him. So when Pastor asked me, and we were talking about, so why are we here? And I said, well, we're between churches because we were sent to Meadville. The district sent me down there to build the church back up again. And our job was over, and now we're kind of in between. And I told him, I said, we're just waiting. We're just waiting on the Lord to see what He's got for us. And that's sometimes a tough place to be in. And as I was reminded Good Friday, the disciples, the apostles, the friends, those that were there, they didn't know what was going on. They could only see their friend, their Christ. They could only see Him being crucified. They could only see Him being beaten. They could only see the negative end. And we remember Good Friday and the pain that goes along with Good Friday. And when I said that about waiting, I was reminded Saturday. They had to wait. They had to wait on the Lord. They had to wait to find out what the next steps were that they were going to be going through. What do we do now? And most of us here have probably been in that situation once or twice in our life. What do we do now? How do we do it? Where do we go from here? And as I was reading and studying this week, I was reading some things about Paul. And I wanted to write them down because I think they fit sometimes with us. Paul the Apostle spent 2 years in prison for spreading the word of God. He was deserted by many of his friends. He was stoned and left for dead. He was whipped 5 times with 39 lashes. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beaten publicly with a rod 3 times. He was bitten by a viper, and they thought he would die. He was falsely arrested many times and imprisoned without a fair trial. He was condemned to death. Many times we go through some of these things in life. Friends, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I don't know about you, but it seemed like all of our friends were gone. But I can tell you one thing. Someday we will spend eternity with Him. So all these things that Paul went through that we may go through too sometimes, I'm reminded of what he said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe you didn't hear that. Paul, the one I just spoke of, all these things that he went through in life, said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You say, but how do you do that? I've often had people say at our church, Pastor, how do you do that? It's so easy to say, but how do you do that? Let me leave you with one scripture that I lean on when I'm going through those times when I don't know what to do. I don't know where he wants me to go. I don't know what he's calling me to do right now. It's taken from Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I couldn't figure that out at first, and I started studying. You know that the eagle is the bird that flies the highest. It sees the most. It's the sharpest. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then it goes on to say, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So my challenge to you today is, wait on him. Don't be anxious to just jump into something. And ask him to teach you what he has for you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Our next one who's going to testify about the good that the Lord's done in his life is Mr. Dan Peters. He's been going here for, what, 2 years now, give or take? Yeah. And when he started coming, he was in a very different state of heart and mind than he is now. And the Lord's really blessed him and our church through him. So he's going to share about that now.
Unwillingness. Almost 40 years of unwillingness, pain, not knowing, scared, thoughts of ending it all, wandering, broken, being a thief, a liar, hooked on drugs, sexually impure, didn't care about anybody, didn't want nothing to do with anybody, got angry at God, got disgusted if I saw somebody reading the Bible, turned the channel on the radio because I didn't want to hear it, shut the TV off if church come on, knew that I was a waste. There was never hope. Scared. You know, thoughts of just tying that rope in the barn again, or where was the next tree that I could slam a truck into. My own self-greed. My hate because things weren't going my way. Tied up in worldly pleasures. You know, just everything that was dark, anything that I could just, you know, would satisfy the something. But it never did satisfy anything. Then one day I was on the great old devil Facebook, you know, and got a hold of the pastor. And I said to him, I says, I think I need a change, basically. You can correct me if I'm wrong or right, Pastor Dan. Didn't know what to do. The invite was there. Opened the door. I walked through these doors. I think it was the next week after I talked to him. Or pretty close, something like that. And I saw something that day, something that I wanted, something I knew I need to have. We all carry these. We all have done that. We all probably have some of them smaller, some of them bigger. You know, I was having a hard time turning over to Christ. And, you know, still to this day I have things that come through my mind, thoughts that shouldn't be there, that scare me and think, you know, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get to heaven. You know, just this last week, or was it last week, the week before last? I don't know, Wednesday. It was a Wednesday. I talked to you guys about, I had been having thoughts about the Holy Spirit. But, you know you can rebuke thoughts. You don't have to have your thoughts rule your heart. And our hearts are deceiving. And my heart has been playing with me right along. It's heavy. It's heavy. But you know, when I walk through the door and when I come and I see each and every one of you, I don't just see you as you. You guys have opened the doors. Christ has opened the doors. He has put love in you that you share with me. Help with firewood, and just anything that I've asked or didn't even ask. You know, somebody's always there. This family and this church is always there. You're willing to listen. You're willing to shine the light of Christ. And I'm glad that I can be part of it. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't know everything. It's a battle. I'm sure every one of you know that. It is a battle. But what I do know is because Christ died on the cross for my sins, my impurities. I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect because my name is not Christ. But I know that I am crucified with him. And I am willing. And that's my thought, the big word. You got to be willing to pick up your cross and be crucified with Christ. And that is what I am trying to do. There are many people in here that I've talked to who have really helped me move. And it's not about me. It's really not about me. It's about letting Christ live in me so his light may shine through me. And I want to let you know that I am really willing to do that. That way, by giving myself to him, these chains can come off. Thank you.
Amen. It's a sermon because they preached it. But I want to share with you. But as a preacher, I got to share something, right? It's Easter. I do want to share with you just a couple verses from Mark chapter 16. And Mark would have been probably the very first gospel written, and this would have been the account. It would have been the shortest. It was the shortest account, and all the other would come after and add to the details. But I want to share with you just a little bit. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might go to anoint Jesus' body very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise. And they were on their way to the tomb, and when they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side and were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. The place where they laid him, and go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you in Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said both nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I want to just share just a real quick this morning. You know, it's in those moments, and the reason I picked the passage, it's in those really dark moments of our lives. I think about those women going that morning and where they had to have been mentally and where they were in their life. They had lost a treasured son. They had lost a friend, and all their hope was gone. They didn't have hope. Yeah, they heard the stories, right? And it's easy to say, well, yeah, this is what's going to happen, but they didn't have hope in that morning. They went through the motions of life, going through to do the spices and to so he didn't stink, right? And just the preparation for the body. But their plan all along was to just go and do that and mourn some more. And I think we've all been there at one time or another. We've grieved the loss of someone we love. And it can wreck us. It can wreck us. And yet when they went and there was no body, my sense is that in their minds they heard Jesus' voice, that in 3 days I will rise again. And it was in that moment that they had hope. Hope beyond themselves. Hope beyond this life. Hope beyond anything they could imagine. That no matter the circumstances of life, no matter what had been dealt them, there was something better. There was still hope to be had. You heard the testimony of four people whose lives have been changed, all in different ways. I don't know if you noticed that. Changed in different ways. I encourage you to catch them, encourage them, maybe talk a little more about life with them. The difference Jesus makes in their life shines through. Not because any one of them is perfect. They would be the first to tell you that. Not because any one of them has it figured out. But because the difference that Jesus' resurrection makes is that they have hope in this life and for eternity. Let me encourage you. I'm 5 minutes over, so I'm already in trouble because I promised I'd be done by 10 till. So I guess I'm a liar. But I wanted to encourage you this. If you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is in your life, you may have showed up because it's Easter. This may be the first time you've ever walked through this door. Maybe it's the 100th time you've walked through this door. I don't know. If you haven't given Jesus a chance to run and rule your life, you haven't given him an opportunity to change your life, let me encourage you that he will change your life forever. And that's why we come on Easter morning and we have hope to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Don't let that be missed in breakfast. Don't let that be missed in the Easter basket. Let that be missed in our family time. That's why we celebrate. Sure, the food is good, but it pales in comparison to the hope we have in Jesus. And so if you don't know who Jesus is, I'm going to encourage you to catch up with me or Brentley, any of the praise team, the leadership of this church, the deacons, the deaconesses, call the church. Don't go another day without Jesus in your life. We're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to do benediction, and then we're going to roll to the gym. And if you're staying for breakfast, which I encourage you to stay for breakfast, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to roll, and I'm going right out there to stay out of trouble. I'm going to ask you to follow me and find a seat. We're going to take communion to celebrate the resurrection. So that means we're going to all find a seat, and we're going to take communion. It won't take long, I promise, but I want to celebrate sitting around the table together for the resurrection. Jesus said, do this to remember me. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and care. I thank you for your people and the opportunity, Lord, to witness the power of the work you're doing in people's lives. May we not lose sight of why we're here. In your name we pray. Amen.